Listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, open source, grassroots, community solar-powered radio. And this is Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline. I'm your host, Monica Hadley, and sitting right next to me in lovely pale blue is my mother, Caroline Kilborn.
Yeah, I got to hang on to summer a little bit.
Yeah, I've switched over to autumn colors.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, you look nice. Well, you always look nice. But, Iowa is interesting. What was that you said? You know you're in Iowa when...
Oh, when you run your furnace and your air conditioning in the same day. Yeah. You switch from one to the other in the same day, and that is usually how it happens.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We still love it, don't we?
Yeah, we do. No, we wouldn't be here, I guess, if we didn't. We have other options.
That is true.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make a mention that this week is Crew Listener Appreciation Week, and tomorrow is an open house for all of our crew listeners to come on down to the station and check it out.
Oh,
I think we're serving ice cream, Radiance Dairy ice cream, and with raspberry sauce from our own garden out back of the station here. Yeah, I think it's quite the event. So,
yes.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure that James will be giving more details about that later today. Or actually, I have a few here. It's station tours, live broadcasts. It's Saturday from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Host meetups, ice cream, as we're entering our fifth year of broadcasting. So, which brings us to today's guest, who also has been broadcasting, but not a crew. So we'll ask her a little bit about that coming up. You want to introduce today's guest? Yeah, fellow broadcaster.
Our guest today is Sally Felton, and she is living proof that people can go through a major life change and not only survive, but thrive. And many of us are going to want to hear this. After years of frustration and searching for her purpose, she decided to leave her proper Yankee upbringing, traditional education, and competitive sports career to pursue her true passions. It's been 20 years, and she hasn't looked back. Now she's helping others to do the same. She's an international radio talk show host, fully certified CMC PCC life coach, transitional specialist, and co-author who uses her clients' individual strengths to create and support their life goals. Through one-on-one and group coaching, she has helped thousands, and she says to her clients, "Let's start where you stand." I like that.
Welcome to Writer's Voices, Sally.
Well, thank you both very much. I am sitting here in my office drooling because I would like some ice cream with strawberries.
Oh, now, this isn't just any ice cream. This is organic ice cream, locally produced, by our very own Radiance Dairy, which is operated by Francis Tickey and his wife, and he is now running for Secretary of Agriculture of the state of Iowa to bring a really new organic perspective to agriculture in this state.
I am all about being organic.
These are organic cows, believe me.
Yeah. So
totally.
So I wish you were here. Have you ever been in Fairfield?
Of course.
Have you ever been to Fairfield, Sally?
No, I haven't.
Well,
oh.
We're going to have to do something about that, aren't
yes.
we?
Yes.
I can do that.
So where are you? Where are you calling us from today?
I am calling in from the East Coast, where, again, sometimes you need the air conditioner and the heat on at the same time. But I woke up early this morning with a very brisk breeze and am very happy to be wearing a nice woolly fleece right about now. I love the fall coming.
Yeah, it is. It's got its moments.
Yeah, I do too. It's just all too brief, usually.
No, but I'm just north of Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, beautiful. And oh, well, fall is the time for New England, isn't it?
It really is. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, Sally, tell us a little bit about your book, your latest book, GPS for Success, and also we'll get into your earlier books, too. How did you come to get involved in this project?
I got a call from Insight Publishing in Tennessee, and they asked if I would join Deepak Chopra and Dr. Dennis Waitley and Jack Canfield and other authors in doing a chapter for this particular book called GPS for Success. So that's how that I got invited for this.
Well, that's a fairly impressive list of co-authors you've got there.
Well, I was, what do I want to say? I was buffaloed. I was honored and thought, what do I have to lose? Nothing and everything to gain.
Right.
Right. So who actually...
Start where you stand.
Who actually...
That's right.
Who actually put the book together?
Inside Publishing.
Okay, so they... do the like the editing and the
correct
contacting all the co-authors and
yep.
and putting it all together.
Uh-huh.
Now your chapter, we haven't actually seen the finished book. When is it coming out?
You know, your guess is as good as mine. I keep writing emails, and I'm sure I'm on their hit list right about now of deleting anything coming in from Sally Felton. Because it is a chapter, it's a conglomeration of all different authors. If one author doesn't finish editing or finish their particular part of the project, it gets delayed.
Of course.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. You know, Chris emailed me back and said, it's coming.
So it's coming any day now.
That's what they say.
Any day.
It's coming.
Now, your chapter is structured almost as if you're doing a live interview with
uh-huh.
Someone. Is that how they all are? Or how did
they
you...
They all are. That's the way they wanted to structure this particular book.
Now, was it actually a transcript of an interview?
It is.
It is.
Oh, it was? Yep. And then we got to expand on it as much as we wanted.
Okay. And who was interviewing you?
David Wright, who is the owner of Insight Publishing.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
It was a fun thing to do. It really was.
Now,
I've done another one with them, Stepping Stones to Success. And that was much more timely to put together. And this one, for some reason, has its quirks.
But you have your portion all done.
I did.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I did, yes. But an interesting thing happened last August. They sent me an email for the final edit of the chapter. I never received it. Monica, I never got it.
Oh, that happens.
That does happen. So I kept thinking, well, I haven't heard from them, and it's been weeks, so I sent them an email, and Chris said, Sally, I sent it to you. I said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, no, I sent it to you. Here it is, August 4th. And I said, hold on, let me check my junk box.
Oh, yeah.
Not in there. It wasn't in there.
Oh.
I said, okay. Do me a favor. send it to me again, but also have your assistant, Tracy, send it from her email address just to make sure. And they said, you know, that's been happening.
Mm-hmm.
That one particular email will work and another won't.
Right.
I thought mail.
My thought was, oh boy, how many other emails has he sent me that I have not gotten?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought email, I mean,
very,
I thought it was
very wisely when emails are sent back and forth. At the very end, always say confirm.
That's a great idea.
Just confirm you've gotten this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of email is far from infallible.
Oh yeah.
There's all kinds of ways an email can get lost. One is it just sort of disappears into the electronic ether. One is another is that it gets trapped by a spam filter or of some sort that's trying to protect you from things you don't want to see. And the third is you actually get it, but you get it on a day where you've got where you're getting so many emails that it gets overlooked and
sure.
You know. Yeah. It can that can definitely happen.
Yeah. So I don't know where it is out there in internet land, but the August 4th I never got.
But you did get your chapter edited and finished and ready to go.
Done.
Right. And
all done, all approved.
Now, tell us why they came to you for this to write advice about success.
I think one was my radio show, A Fresh Start with Sally Felton, is all about empowerment, being the best person you can be. And I talk about that a lot, Monica, on my show, and I have guests who I interview just as you do. I am passionate about moving people forward at their own pace. Mm. I am not about my agenda, but am about listening to theirs. And what can I do to help them move even a quarter of an inch more towards a particular project or goal or dream that they have?
This is refreshing because I think most, a lot of people in your position would say, okay, here we go, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and people maybe aren't ready to do that.
Or maybe they just don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, as Caroline said, you can either work with someone who is a consultant who will give you the methods to reach it, or you could work with someone like myself who is about asking powerful questions and instilling self-awareness in my clients.
Well, you know, Sally, that's a very important point because for me personally, I've always been very good at getting what I want, but it's a lot harder for me to actually know what it is I want in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a trick to that, Monica.
Yes.
If you were to flip that phrase around, and if I said to you, Monica, what is it that you want? And the response might be, Sally, I don't know. Here's a trick. Approach the same question with this introduction. If you knew what you wanted, Monica, what might that look like?
Mm.
Totally different way of asking.
It certainly is.
But it creates the opportunity for someone to feel less than owning it so they can really think about what their dream is.
So
there's
a
real difference, but it's such a slight shift.
That it's a subtle distinction, but I can see the power. The power behind it.
You knew
what
you wanted. What might that look like?
Yeah, because otherwise, if you say, what do you want, and you have to give an answer, you're right. You have to, like, oh, is this really what I want? Is this? But when you even having that might in there,
right.
It's like
you
okay.
have to be really specific when somebody says, "Well, what do you want?"
Right.
I don't know what I want, but if you were to ask them, if you knew what you wanted, what might that look like? Well, I'd like a house near a river, or I'd like to live on a mountain. I would love to have my income be much more. So they can rattle it all off.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take more time for myself. I'd like to be able to spend more time with my kids. Whatever it is. Then you get down to breaking it out. That's when you can become more specific.
Now, do you ever find, I guess they wouldn't come to you, but people who actually are quite content with what they have and the way things are and aren't really motivated to change?
I haven't come across too many of those.
No, I don't suppose.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't come and talk to you because they wouldn't see the need.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Yeah, sometimes with all the motivation and self-help that's out there, I sometimes think we lose that if you actually are content with your life, you almost think there must be something wrong with you.
There's a lot out there.
Yes,
there is a lot out there, and for some it's overload.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is how much can I read? How much can I take in? How much can I learn? Where for me, simplicity is the best. Because if you come from a place of simplicity, you don't need a whole lot more.
That's true. And is it okay to say, okay, my life may not be what somebody else considers perfect, but I think it's actually quite fine.
Absolutely. It's your life. It's absolutely your life. And you don't need to be judged by someone else.
Yeah, you have a quote about one of your favorite quotes talks about that, isn't it? From Euripides?
Yes.
Euripides?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is just one life for each of us, our own. And again, that is one of my favorite quotes because life is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is as good as it gets. And for me, you have a choice. We all have choices how we want to live our life. We can either choose to be the victim and complain, or we can take responsibility for our life and say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to shift something in my life in order for it to be more balanced. We have that choice.
Right. My dad used to always say, you can't live someone else's life for them. And I know what he meant because, you know, we always think we need to fix people, right? We
want to fix. Exactly.
Can't do it.
Well, that's called an enabler.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes is from Mark Twain, and I believe it was when he was giving a speech on his 70th birthday, which at that time was actually a fairly significant age to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure is.
Yeah, and he was saying, you know, if you find that you can't get to 70 except by another man's road, then just don't go.
Yeah.
He said I could tell you how to live to reach, or how I lived that I reached age 70, but what I did would probably kill somebody else.
Yeah. I can tell you how I live my life, but it's not my life that's important. It's yours and how you live your life that matters.
Exactly. Now, Sally, you focus quite a bit in your article in this book and also I think in your work on life balance.
Yeah.
How do you define that?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I looked in Webster's dictionary and it is the definition is so dry, I needed a glass of water after I read it. It looks like this. The quality that distinguishes a vital and functional plant or animal from a dead body or a state of living characterized by capacity for metabolism or growth or reaction to stimulus or reproduction. Oh, my word. How dry is that?
And that's life.
That's life.
Life.
Now, there is nothing in that definition for me that is inspiring or motivating, rejuvenating, nurturing. But I guess Webster, that's what he found.
So, do you have a better definition?
Life for me is inspiring, it's growing, it's nurturing, it is being your authentic self, it's being vibrant, it is rooting yourself in the earth and watching yourself grow.
And balance?
Balance. This is what Webster says, an instrument for weighing a being that is supposed that is supported freely in the center and has two pans of equal weight suspended from its end. Well, I feel as if I am in my biology class when I read that. For me, I think of balance when I think of a tree. I'm a great gardener. I love being out in nature. And when I think of a plant or a tree or a bush to be in balance, one side is equal to the other, and there is a sense of uniformity in that plant or tree. When a tree is hit by a storm, it may lose some of its limbs, its branches. Some of the leaves may be ripped off, and that to me is imbalanced. So when a person is imbalanced, there is part of their life that is more laden with either work or family, whatever it is, and it seems to not be rooted as sturdily in the ground as it could be.
Now, you identify a number of branches in the tree of a tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about those a little bit?
I do. If you were to imagine a tree, and it is rooted securely in the foundation of the earth, and its roots go deep, imagine the tree growing very tall, and with each limb, there is an opposite. There's a left side and a right side of limbs. We'll take each one of those limbs and label them, for example, your position or your job, physical, spiritual, intimacy, and I'm not meaning sex here, I'm meaning your social intimacy, your learning or growth, office, play, your finance, your health, your social support, your family, your home, your environment, and fun. Those are all different parts of the tree that encompass life balance. Make sense?
Are they all equally as important, or do you need some main larger branches and smaller branches?
That's a good question. And I think it's determined by how strong these limbs are. For example, finance does need to be somewhat strong because that will hold up your family and your home.
Mm-hmm.
So what I ask all my clients to do when we do this exercise is label the branch 0 to 10. Mark it, 0 to 10. 10 being the highest, the best. If you were to see your finances, rate it as it currently is. Is it a 4? Is it a 6? Is it a 5, an 8, whatever it is? And as we start to see where you have rated each of the branches, you can visually see, is this lopsided or not? What do I need to fix here? And what I usually do is put all the life on the left and all the anything work-related on the right side. And that really gives you a platform to see right in front of your face which branches are either overburdened or need to be pruned back.
And when you're ranking them, it doesn't mean that that you spend an equal amount of time. Two things might both be ranked a six. It doesn't mean you spend an equal amount of time on each of them.
No, not at all.
It means that they are equivalent in how much fulfillment those aspects bring to you.
Exactly. Yes. And if you're finding, especially with learning and growth, I'll take that one, that you want to move that up, say it's a five and you want it to be a 5.25.
Baby steps.
Absolute baby steps. We're not going for the gold medal quite yet. If you take learning and growth, I would ask you if family, friends, and finances were not an issue, how would you increase this from a 5 to a 5.25? And the response could be, well, there's a university down the street that I would love to be able to take a psychology course. And then my response might be, well, how might you do that? Well, I think it's at night, and I might say, you think it's at night, how could you verify it? Well, I need to call them. Then my response would be, well, when will you call them? So there's a sense of accountability here.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Get them moving. And then they may say, well, I did call them, but the price is too high.
So finance is an issue.
The finance is now an issue. So I would say to them, how important is this course to you? And they would say, well, it is important. And I would say, well, give me a number. 1 to 100, 100 being I have to do it. How important is it to you? And they'll say 85. And I might say, well, 85 seems very, very important to you. What is it you do today that you could say no to that money could go into your learning growth fund? And the response many times has been, well, you know what? I don't need 4 cups of coffee a day. I could do 2. And I said, that's a great start. Yeah. What else could you do? And then we begin the whole brainstorming. And they might say, well, you know what? I don't need to have my nails done every other week. I can do them myself. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, okay, so how much money would that save you? Well, I could then bring my lunch to work that I've made from home. So how much does that save you? And then before long, they have the finances necessary to take this course.
It's all a matter of establishing priorities.
It is. Yeah. It is all about priorities. It is.
You're listening to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Sally Felton, who is a radio show host herself and also a contributor to GPS for Success and Stepping Stones to Success from Insight Publishers. Are those books available pretty much anywhere?
Yes. I believe they are on Amazon.com. And in order to do that, just plug in Sally Felton GPS for success, or Sally Felton Stepping Stones for success. If any of your listeners would like an autographed copy, I would be more than happy to send them one and send it to them with free shipping if they order it off of my website.
And what is your website, Sally?
www.sally, S-A-L-L-I-E, Felton, F as in Frank, E-L-T-O-N, lifecoach.com.
And also, when we have this broadcast archived on writersvoices.com, we'll have a link to probably your website and also to the book on Amazon, so people can click right through from the interview.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, something that many people face dealing with stress is because we have some talents, we are asked to do many, many things. And it's hard to say no, because you want to give back, you're happy with your life and you want to give back, and so how do you say no? That's where I am right now.
Oh, Caroline, that is so true. People have the hardest time saying no. I will give you a personal story. I forever was a volunteer. I had my master's in volunteerism.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah.
I was doing everything for everybody else, especially when our three kids were younger. I had started a business called The Rocking Horse, where I manufactured children's clothing, and I did that for 12 years. Then I made it a priority that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That was something very clear that I wanted to do. So I put The Rocking Horse on the back burner, became the full-time mom, and I was into everything. Anybody needed anything, I was there. Well, let me tell you, by child number three, I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted. One thing I realized, there was no time for me. None. I was getting totally depleted. And when somebody said, "Why can't you say no?" the first word that came into my head was guilt.
yeah.
Guilt. And I can't let this person down.
Right.
How could I possibly say no? I've been saying yes for 15 years. How could I possibly say no? Well, I learned a very important lesson. If you don't say no, no one else is going to step up to the plate, because they know you're going to do it.
Right.
By saying no, just taking one thing off your plate, just one, do a small, do something pleasurable for yourself. Either take a walk, either read a chapter of a book, but do something to honor that time.
Mm-hmm.
Do something. Pat yourself on the back, because this is a very hard step for people to do.
But a lot of people who have this problem find out that if they don't learn how to say no, their body's going to do it for them.
Yes.
They run into health problems, and where they just have no choice but to slow down.
And another thing, think about this, Monica and Caroline. You are modeling behavior for the next generation. So if you never say no, look at what your children are learning.
Or already learned, in our case.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And it's true. I can look at my daughter and I see, you know, she's burning the candle at both ends already.
Yeah. Yeah. And I looked at my daughter, too. And I said to her the other night, so how's it working out so far?
Yeah, how's it working out for you?
And how old is she?
She's 27.
That's about, mine's 29. So how is it working out so far for her?
How's it working out? She said, Mom, I have to say no. So I said, got it. You got it. I said, what are the items on your to-do list are you going to say no to? What requests are you going to say no to?
Now, when you, Sally, you seem to go into coaching mode very fluently and very easily, and you're obviously very effective at it, but I'm wondering how your kids respond when you do that.
Oh, that's great.
Because I can tell you what mine would.
No, it's very funny you say that. I remember once talking with Sarah, and I had my mom mode on, and then I changed it, and I put my coaching hat on, and she stopped me immediately and said, Mom?
I want the mom back.
Hat off. Get the coaching hat off. And I said, okay, got it.
It is funny how we can have these different roles and
and
be very different in how we project ourselves in those different roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that, you know, I have an accounting business and I have a strong business background, and occasionally someone with whom I have a personal relationship who doesn't really know me that well on the business side will ask me for advice or a business question, and I can actually observe this switch, how I switch the way that I respond to that.
Yes.
Whereas in my personal relationships, I don't like to give advice at all.
Yeah.
But in my business, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I switch into that, it's like, it's funny to me.
Click.
It's like, it's a click, definitely.
It's when I get into talking with my kids with phrases, now if you didn't know, what would that look like? And they start to giggle. They start to giggle. But they will always say that is the one phrase for them that shifts their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing.
Would you say that phrase again?
If you knew what you wanted to do, what would that look like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sally, tell us a little bit about how you came to use another one of the phrases that you seem to key a lot of your work around, which is start where you stand. Where did that come from?
Start where you stand. That came to me by a very, very dear woman who lived with us for 36 years, Hazel Young. She is my emotional mother. She was, I never call her a nanny, she was my emotional mother. Mm-hmm. And she was right next to us, downstairs, with my sister and myself. My other sisters were up on the other part of the house. And I remember I would not want to put my laundry away or make my bed or change my bed. And I would complain that I was wasting the day and I wanted to go out and ride my horse. I had much more fun things to do than to spend time in my room. And I was procrastinating and procrastinating. And Hazel came in and said, what's the matter? I said, this is such a waste of time. It's going to take me all day. Where do I even begin? There's so much. And Hazel looked at me straight in the face and said, start where you stand. So I folded my clothes and put them in the drawer. But I'll never forget that. So when we think that we have a huge amount to do and we are overwhelmed either with our emails, our with the mail coming in, with our to-do task, our projects, whatever it is.
Or for writers, you know, facing a book, trying to write a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facing a deadline.
Hey,
yeah.
Just start where you stand. Break it down. We're not asking to write the entire book. We're not asking you to respond to 200 emails. Respond to one. Write one sentence of your book.
This actually reminds me of one of my favorite books on writing by Annie Lamott, called Bird by Bird.
This is weird. This is really spooky because I just thought the same thing, but I couldn't remember where that came from.
Bird by Bird. It's a very similar story. Her little brother had a report to write on the 50 state birds, and he was overwhelmed by it. And his father said, just do it bird by bird.
Exactly.
One bird at a time.
Bird by bird, yep.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how we get there. We're all going to get there to the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to do it, but it's how we each do it that is different.
And how much we enjoy it along the way.
Exactly.
And really, that's up to you.
Yeah, totally up to you. You have the choice.
And this start where you stand, people who are trying to change their life have to let go of the past.
Yep.
Because that's only dragging them down.
Yep.
And
exactly.
You know, and too many of us don't do that, of course.
Right. Well, a lot of us don't.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I was talking to a client this morning, and that inner critic of I'm not good enough, I don't measure up, mm-hmm. those tapes we need to start letting go of. And how do we do that? By affirmations, by starting with very small sentences. I am good enough. I am good enough. I can do this. And then write, what have you been successful at? What are some of the things that you have been successful at? And not, well, I'm a good driver, or I'm a good cook. Take that one more step. What made you a good cook? My passion for cooking.
Mm.
Very different than something that you just do. You mm-hmm. have that inner passion for doing something. That's part of you. That's who you are. I mean, I joke with my older sister, Nina, who is a gourmet chef. She is amazing, though she will never say that. And I spent 2 weeks with her just last week. And she cooked every single meal. And I looked at her and I said, I can't wait to get home and not eat. I can't wait. Can't wait. But that's not my strength, but it is hers.
Yeah.
You know, something we can do for other people, too, is to compliment them when they do something good. Last Sunday, I play at church, and last Sunday after Mass, this man came up to me, and he said, you know, you are the best piano player I ever heard.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, bless your heart.
Right.
Yeah. Acknowledging other people's talents and successes is a simple thing to do and can make a huge impact.
Caroline, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When he said that, what would it have felt like if you were to have acknowledged your own strength?
Well, I told him, I said, he said the songs you play before Mass, he said, gave me such a feeling of peace, and I said, that's what I try to do. I try to play songs that are, you know, just very peaceful, and sometimes they're instrumentals that I get from my piano books, from John Thompson piano books. I've been a piano teacher for a long time. And that's, you know, they're not necessarily religious songs, but from great composers, but very peaceful songs.
Exactly.
And that's,
and I think it's important for us to honor our own strengths. And I'm not saying let your ego take the stride.
Right.
But we can also say, thank you for noticing that in me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for noticing that. Because we need to honor ourselves, too. We need to pat ourselves on the back once in a while.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Sally Felton, co-author of GPS for Success and a radio show host herself. Sally, would you tell us a little bit about your shows, how you got started as a radio host, and how people can listen to your show?
Yes, how can we hear that?
Sure can. It was 4.5 years ago, I got a call on April 1st. I'll never forget it. Cameron Steele from Contact Talk Radio. And he said, I am looking for a life coach, and I have your business card in front of me that somebody sent me and said you have to have her as a host on your show. And of course my first thought was, I have no idea who you are, and it's April 1st. Somebody has put you on an April Fool's joke.
Pretty good one.
I asked him that. I said, Cameron, do you know what day it is? Who has put you up to this? He said, no, I'm not kidding. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I am. I'm serious. I said, I have never been a radio host. I wouldn't know where to start. And he said to me, that's not a problem. I'll show you exactly what to do. Mm. And I said, I am just severing relationships with two other colleagues. One is going to Florida for retirement. The other one is moving up to New Hampshire. I said, I don't even have a web presence. And he said, how long will that take you? I said, oh, my gosh. I said, well, I won't know the answer till I call the web person tomorrow. And whatever he or she says, that's when I will do it. And he said, okay, so we'll talk tomorrow? I went, you're not letting go of this, are you? And he went, nope, I'm not. So I looked at my husband afterwards, and I said, so what do you think? And he looked at me, and I'll never forget his look. He said, what's there to think? What's there to think? And I said, you're right. What is there to think? So I called Cameron back, and I said, 5 weeks from today, I will be up and running. And I was.
Wow.
And I've done it for 4.5 years and have two shows on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday. And it's all from Contact Talk Radio. I have 4.5 years of archives. I am just beginning to categorize each of the topics to make it much more user-friendly. But my topics include everything from abuse, ADD, all the way to transformation and weight, with happiness, grief, forgiveness, feng shui, everything in between.
And are the shows distinct? Are they different?
They're all different.
But you have two different shows, or is there a different theme, kind of overlying theme for the Wednesday show than the Thursday show?
Or? There isn't. It all has to do with empowerment. It all has to do with giving something back to my listeners that will improve their life.
Now, what is Contact Talk Radio?
Contact Talk Radio is out of Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And it is KRWM 1069 FM HD3. And if they go on to www.contacttalkradio.com, they can see a whole host of radio hosts.
Okay, so this is a station in Seattle that broadcasts to the Seattle area and then online as well?
It broadcasts from the Seattle, yes.
Okay.
From the Seattle area, and also anyone that has HD3 in the world, and we also are heard in 240 countries.
Wow. And what is HD3? I'm not familiar with that.
High definition.
Okay. Is it like a subscription?
I think it
package?
Is. I think it is. There again, I am not too techno-savvy, but yeah, they changed it so you would be able to hear, I believe, Monica, from a greater distance.
Okay.
So, and that's why it's HD.
So, Sally, how do you don't go into a studio then to record your shows?
Oh, I'm in my office in Massachusetts.
And
wow.
And so you call in and they call in and...
Call in.
Wow.
I call in or I use Skype.
Right.
They plug me into the studio.
Okay.
I have a producer who is on with me for the hour. We check the audio system. We check for how my guest sounds. They edit and get out my barking dog. is at my feet. And any glitches, we put it back together. I send it out to my archives, and I also make sure that all of my guests get a link within 24 hours of it being posted.
Fantastic.
So they can do with it as they wish.
Well, it's interesting because you started right about the same time we started Writers' Voices.
Yeah.
Now, this is different. It's a local radio station. We come into the studio and do the show, but most of our guests call in. We have had some of the, I looked at your guest list. We've had some of the same guests as, Mariel Hemingway, for example.
Oh, she was fantastic.
She's hysterical.
Yeah, I can't remember who some of the other ones that we've had in common, but we've started about the same time, too.
Yeah.
And, so it's really, really interesting.
What are the it was KW or KRWM, and the letters or the numbers were what, 109?
106.9 FM.
Okay, I got it.
HD3.
All right.
Right, okay. Very good.
Well, as a writer, Sally, are you working on anything now?
Yes. I have been asked to co-author a book with my husband on depression.
Mm. Mm.
It's something he's dealt with for 36 years of our marriage, and it's something that he has had all his adult life but never really knew it as a young adult.
Wow.
So it is all about the support, the growth, the transformation, living with someone with depression, and it comes from his voice as well as mine.
And how? When will that book be coming out?
2011.
Wow, that's not very far.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Wow.
And actually, we had so many requests for a show that the third Wednesday of every month, it is an offshoot of A Fresh Start with Sally Felton called Light at the End of the Tunnel.
Mm. Well, that's a very important topic.
It is.
To give people
and
hope.
Monica, a lot of people don't want to talk about it.
Yes. Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
No, don't want to talk about it. Well, we've lost way too many friends to this disease, and we went to a funeral last April, and it was one of our ushers in our wedding, and he died of suicide. Oh. And Conway said after that, said, "That's it. I'm telling everybody. I don't care. I don't care." So what we have done on my website is you'll see it says Sally's Radio Show, and one says A Fresh Start, and the other one says Depression or Light at the End of the Tunnel. I have put all those archives of Light at the End of the Tunnel under the Depression shows.
Okay.
So if anyone wants it, it's right there. They don't have to scroll through 4.5 years of looking for those specific topics.
Well, thank you, Sally. In our last 60 seconds here, would you like to leave our listeners with some pearls of wisdom?
I would. The first is, remember, you have the choice to balance your life. No one else does. And it's not our life that determines how we live. It's how we live that determines our life.
Uh-huh.
So start where you stand.
Oh. Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Writer's Voices.
Well, thank you both, Monica and Caroline. It was my pleasure and an honor to be a guest with you today.
And we'll let you know when your link is available on crewfm.com. And
thank you very much.
On writersvoices.com. Great. And as we close out today, don't forget that it's Crew Listener Appreciation Day tomorrow. Come on down to the station at 405 North 2nd Street and enjoy some Radiance Dairy organic ice cream and berry sauce and meet some of your favorite hosts.
Mm-hmm. They have a tremendous lineup here. They really do.
And Caroline, would you like to leave us with a quote today?
Yes, I would. You can't solve every problem, particularly if the problem isn't yours to begin with.
See you next week on Writer's Voices.
Writer's Voices is hosted, produced, and engineered by Monica Hadley, Caroline Kilborn, and Shemaine Montana. Archives available at KRUUFM.com and writersvoices.com. Writer's Voices is a production of KRUULP 100.1 FM, broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.